The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, Old School. We're brought to you by the Mercado Certified Piedmontese Special Grease and Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 168th and Maple up there in the O, what they call the Metro. That's Omaha, for if you don't know the nickname for it. But I'm always excited when we have special guests in and also special people in. I want to welcome Grayson in and give you a little, just a quick little background on Grayson. He does a great job of, I would say, when you train or coach athletes, it just doesn't stop when they leave your facility. And you know, look, I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, obviously I heard about you through Thomas Villanco. So I was, you know, Thomas, great judge of character and stuff like that. So we want to welcome you into Old School. Grayson, how you been, man?
Good. Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it. Yeah, shout out Thomas Villanco and also Jamie Belt.
Yeah.
Jamie Bell.
Yeah, that's my dude.
He's actually in camp right now. He's training a guy, Jesus Ramos. Got a fight coming up, I think the same week or weekend of Cinco de Mayo.
Right. Yeah. I always want to ask you, like, what got you into, just take us from the, you know, kind of when you very first started and what got you into training athletes? Because I think everybody has a unique story and how they, you know, came to this point. And then also, I think it tells you your present day story as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we moved around a lot when I was a kid.
Right.
And my dad was sick. And, you know, I had two choices. You know, I can deal with it in those two ways. And I chose a gym.
Right.
You know, and I needed a place to find the confidence to be who I wanted to be.
Right.
And, you know, I found the gym and I wanted to be able to, you know, provide that same environment for the youth.
Right.
You know, and then when I went to University of Nebraska, my undergrad, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I'm like, I want to be a strength coach. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what I got to do. I'm going to pay my dues and I'm going to do
right.
it. And then 12, you know, almost 11, 12 years later, and now here we are.
Right. Yeah, that's great, man. I mean, it's always good. The focus, whether it's through, you know, personal situation, adversity, where it kind of gets you there. But I think the laser like focus is always something that I appreciate, because in order to make it, you got to know what you want to do and you got to be willing to fight for it. It's never easy. I always want to ask you, man, it's like, I know you do things detailed per athlete, per sport. For the people out there that are listening, we got a lot of youth sport parents, parents that have, you know, kids in high school in different sports. You know, when I was coming up, you know, when I played basketball, they're like, oh, you ain't supposed to lift weights, right? That's obviously been put to bed. Uh-huh. At what age should, in your opinion, and I always respect your opinion, that's why I'm asking you, should kids start to transition into some form of strength training without, quote unquote, stunting their growth, but too much too fast? You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
When should they start?
Yeah. So I have kids that start 8-year-old.
Right.
You know, and it's just, you know, starting in love with the basics, you know. If we can get them understanding just gym etiquette, you know, hey, you know, make sure you put your weights back. Hey, this is how you squat. This is how you run, even if it's just an arm form, you know, understanding the importance of a warm up routine, cool down routine. I mean, all those things. You know, if we can build a really strong foundation, then I feel like we could build a, you know, a mansion on top of that versus a smaller house.
Right. And what people, you mentioned one thing is form. And you know, I was blessed enough. I didn't lift weights in high school, but then when I came to Nebraska, hey, you know, we had Kevin Coleman who went to the Olympics. If your form yep. wasn't good on the squats, it didn't count. So I had to learn yep. by, you know, being thrown in the fire.
Yep.
Talk about how important form is to the detail of good form in any lift or any activity, because it can pay off more in the end versus how much weight you can kind of muscle up and throw up. Because I think a lot of kids, when I go and work out a little bit by myself, you see kids in there and they're trying to, you know, they're all about, oh, I did.
Yeah, they want to do the reps, the weight or whatever. Right. Yeah.
And it's, I'm like, hey, you know, I don't want to be the old guy say, hey, man, you know, yeah. you need to take about 100 pounds off of there and yeah. do it the right way. But talk about that, because I think it's so important, especially for the people or the parents out there or even the kids that are listening that are starting to either are lifting weights, need to hear it from you, or thinking about it, because that is, I think, is a huge part of being successful and becoming a better athlete is the form and the getting the right amount of reps.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's one of the most important things we probably focus on, Jay. You know, we have kids, if we have a kid do something wrong, whether it's in a speed agility drill or in a lift, we'll just stop the whole thing. We'll do it all over again.
Right.
You know, we have parents who are paying us. You know?
Right.
And so I might have an athlete for only an hour. So I got to make sure everything's quality over quantity. You know, I'd rather do 5 perfect reps than 15 bad reps. And I need, you know, I make sure my athletes understand that, which in turn has the parents understand that and all the other coaches we work with, whether it's a club coach or,
right.
you know, we have, you know, I have college coaches because a lot of my college athletes will come back from the summer and train. And so we're in contact with those college coaches.
Say, right.
Hey, this is how we're doing it. And this is why we're doing it. And, you know, we try to work with them for the benefit of that athlete.
Yeah, I think that's great because, you know, sometimes, you know, me and Austin, you know, we're, you know, call ourselves basketball coaches. But, you know, there's always this thing where for some kids that go out and get outside help, you know, the mental anguish that I call it that they face, because sometimes like high school coaches aren't helpful, right? They like they'll sometimes hold it against them.
Mm-hmm.
I think talk about the being confident. I think I can't speak for you, but I'm just going off my assumption, being confident in yourself to be respectful, but then also open to taking a call from a college coach and say, mm-hmm. hey, look, this is what we're doing. Say, Jay, this is what our goals are for him, but I'm turning you over to it. And then you be respectful of it. I think if you respect the boundaries and then do it with the right intention, it works out. But talk about that, because I think it's something that if a lot of high school coaches around here really came to terms with it, it'd make their job a lot easier.
Yeah, it would. And a lot of the coaches, they try their hardest. They really
sure,
do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and we're in contact with them all the time. You know, for me personally, I think what's made me most successful as a coach is I don't have any pride when it comes right. to coaching. You know, I'm willing to change whatever we need to or make any modifications we have to for that athlete.
Right.
You know, if I have athletes, you know, who go and work out in their high school and they still want to come to me, I don't mind changing my stuff.
Right.
You know, I want to do whatever we need to do for the benefit of that athlete. And, you know, my whole career, you know, I mean, I was at Nebraska, the San Diego Padres, University right. of Missouri. You know, I wanted to expand my horizon because, you know, and I'm continuing to do that even 12 years almost into this. So
I wanted to ask you, like, when I was going through college and obviously when I was in the pros, they always said that the clean, you know, hang clean. I didn't really like the full clean. I like mm-hmm. hang clean a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Is the most important, you know, movement. Is that still hold true, or what's the number one, if you had to say, listen, I want you to do these two things to help you improve in, you know, say like majority of your athletic ability, what is it? Squat is the clean.
See, I'm a little different.
Yeah.
I like heavy sleds.
Right.
I want to push a heavy sled.
Right. You
know, I want kids, because for two reasons. One, their legs are going to get a good build up. And so when we do that, there's not a whole lot of what we call the eccentric action. That's a fancy term basically meaning there's not a whole lot of stretch happening in the muscle.
Sure.
And so we can load that thing up, you know, 10, 11 plates, and they're going to be tired the next day, but not going to be sore.
Right.
And it's going to work on that, you know, on that knee drive.
Right.
And, but also when you watch an athlete pushing that heavy weight, Grant,
right.
your son, for example, you can see they're having to push through. So it's kind of building a little bit of mental toughness too,
tough, yeah.
you know, with them. And so, you know, if I look at an exercise, if I can get the most out of it, you know, we call it the bang for buck. You know, if I can get, you know, I try to look at an exercise and see how much can I get out of this
right.
For the benefit of the athlete. And I think heavy sleds. I mean, you can, back in the day when James Harrison was training,
yeah.
you watch him push 20 plates on or 20 plates on a sled.
Right.
You know, and he just pushing through, and we all know how good he was. So
right. Yeah. And he was like explosive.
Yeah, very.
I think a lot of kids don't understand. I talk to my basketball kids a lot about leverage, mm-hmm. and I view leverage as, you know, the ability to be sturdy,
absolutely,
and to be like a rock, or just hard to get knocked off balance. And I learned that from Coach Samuel, you mm-hmm. know. And once I started to come to terms with leverage, and then obviously weight training, then I became a little bit more sturdy. Talk about the importance of building a strong base, because I think every sport starts at the ground level. Now, absolutely. there's always an outlier. Talk about the importance of building a strong base that you can start from, that can then allow you to reach your potential and exceed a lot of times your potential as an athlete.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what our programs are based on, Coach Grayson. Right. You know, we have three programs. We have the athlete development group, the athlete performance group, and the athlete elite group.
Right.
And so that development group is that younger age where we can really set that foundation, that groundwork, right. and understand things. That performance group is more of the high school athlete. They've been doing it for a while, but we're starting to really crank things up, make things a little bit more intense. And then we have our athlete elite group. Those are, you know.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
College committed athletes, right. college athletes, professional athletes. And so those are the ones that know, okay, hey, I'm here. I'm ready to get after it. And so, you know, we built those programs based on that progression to lay that groundwork because of how important we truly think it is.
Yeah, that's great, man. Because, I mean, I think sometimes when, just like any gym, you know, say when you first people start going to a gym, you can get a little bit intimidated. So I like it that you break it up in three different groups, because if somebody's just getting started, no matter what the age, you need to start them and stair step them versus, you know, say they're a sophomore in high school, never lifted height, you know, mm-hmm. weights, you know, it'd be not advantageous for them to go in there with your elite yeah. group, because then they, you know, you yeah. have a bad experience.
Absolutely.
So I like it that you curtail it, you know, to the athlete in the situation. I'm always interested in this thing, especially because I coach basketball, but then I'll say I played football. But then, you know, I ran track and all this other stuff. What's really the main difference, say, that between a football workout, say, like if Jay Foreman, the football player, came in, or Jay Foreman, the potential basketball or high school basketball player, came in? What's the major difference?
You know, the way I want everyone to look at it is, it's not necessarily sport specific, but if you're doing an exercise, you just got to ask yourself the question, how does this pertain to me as an athlete and the positions I play in my sport?
Right.
You know? So if we do a split squat and we have a softball player doing that split squat, they're going to look at it differently than a basketball forward.
Sure.
And so I want to make sure my athletes understand, okay, hey, we're doing this, but you need to continue to ask yourself that question, because everything we do is not necessarily specific to us, but it might be for the athlete,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that's kind of the educational piece that we want our parents and our athletes to understand.
Sure. And another thing I always talk about with my, you know, athletes or basketball player, or any athlete, is, which, you know, to be honest with you, could speak on this as well. Like when I was just leaving college, core emphasis was just infant stages, right. That's being nice.
Yeah.
I think it really, obviously now I think there's obviously science behind it, and obviously, factual stuff behind it, how important it is. Talk about the importance of first of all, define the core mm-hmm. in your terms,
mm-hmm.
and then talk about the importance of it. Because I think that's something that I see kids in the gym, they bypass that. They're gun show. They're going arm curls.
They're benching.
You're benching. Yeah. Their lat pull down. Uh-huh. You know, they're doing, you know, concentrated curls. They're trying to get the pump, and they're not worried about core, but they're trying to be athletes. Mm-hmm. Talk about what you view as the core, and what is the core, and then talk about how important it is.
Well, one of my men, you know, I always thought the core is as the six pack, and a name you might know is Mike Arthur.
Right. Oh, I know Mike real well.
I bet you do. You know, Mike's one of my mentors. He's one of the first guys I worked with at Nebraska. I mean, right. He's a genius in the strength and conditioning field for over 50 years.
Yep.
When I first asked him that same question, he goes, your core is everything you use from a 360-degree radius. It's your abs, your obliques, your hips, your pelvis, the whole nine yards. And if you're able to control that, the athletes who are able to control that the best and have the most stability in that, the better of the athlete they're going to be.
Right.
Because at least they're everything else. At least they're the ability to how they throw or the range of motion they can get in a kick or whatever it may be.
And, sure.
You know, when he kind of gave me that perspective, it opened up a whole different world for me.
Yeah, he did the same thing for me. I always went to him and I wanted to. I always felt like I when I played, I was fast.
Absolutely.
Right? But then when I ran 40s, I was like, wait, I'm faster than that, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, really the light bulb went on for me is when he didn't call it the core. He was like, listen, we need to strengthen your hip flexors and we need you to obviously get stronger in your abdominals and all this other stuff. And so he helped literally took time out of the structure time to work on it. And I dropped my 40 literally from mid 4.7s to high 4.5s. And then I continued to beat it.
Right.
Talk about, and I think kids miss the, you know, and I think a lot of adults, cause we do a lot of sitting and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Talk about the importance of hip flexor strength, because what I always tell kids, if you want to get fast, you better be able to get those knees up and be able to get some power. So, and I think a lot of kids are walking around, not hitting their speed and power, you know, peaks because of hip flexor weakness and not enough flexibility and strength in there.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because we were just talking about that, me and my assistant the other day. Right. And, you know, that's a big emphasis we're going to have on in our summer training.
Right.
You know, all our sessions are an hour, 15, hour and a half. And, you know, we spend that first 30 minutes on just that. And that's one thing we both kind of agreed on. Like this summer, we want to make sure we really get the hip flexor stronger in all our athletes. I don't know if it's something we really have specifically like focused on, but that's something that we kind of noticed through our training. Like, hey, you know, they're getting faster, they're jumping higher, but what are some of the finer details we need to work on? Right. And the hip flexors are, you know, we're kind of looking into some exercises that we're probably going to implement this summer,
right?
To really have a more prioritization of that.
Yeah, another thing that Mike told me that would help, and everything he said came to, you know, for which I always say Mike's the godfather of, first of all, I mean, he was phenomenal. I mean, you know, one thing that he always made sure he built me up as an athlete, or I built myself, or, you know, whatever, that I kept my flexibility. Mm-hmm. That's something that is huge.
Yeah,
and I think it helps with recovery. I think it helps with injury prevention, but I also think it's one of those hidden things that people, it's not the sexy thing,
no.
Right? Cause you don't see, you know, if you go do 100 arm curls, you're going to see a pump. Like when you work on flexibility, you only see it internally because it's more of a mental thing. Talk about the importance of being flexible and how it leads to you being a better athlete. And then also all the things I mentioned, recovery, injury prevention, longevity for, you know, in a professional athlete. Talk about that. Cause Tom Brady was he called a plyo? He was more, he was real, he was like Gumby, talk about the importance of flexibility.
You know, that's one thing, you know, we have every athlete come in and they perform what we call our introduction session. And that's one of the first things we work on. Like, hey, like we need to understand, you know, what this warm-up routine looks like, what the cool down routine looks like and the expectations of that.
Right.
And one of those expectations is, hey, we're doing this because we need you to be more flexible.
Right.
A lot of the athletes who come to us, you know, like kind of like you mentioned, they're just benching, they're curling. Yeah. They don't do the quote unquote sexy stuff. They're just, you know, they are doing the sexy stuff. They're just not doing the things that they need to help lay that groundwork.
Right.
And stretching is one of those big things, you know. A lot of them, like we have like these little foam rollers. A lot of them don't even know what it's even called.
Right.
You know, and I tell them a lot of the athletes who come to us, you know, they want to be a college athlete. And I'm like, hey, you know, we need to understand why we're using this tool. Because you're going to use it at the college level and some at the pro level.
Right.
You know, or just stretching with a band. A lot of them grab a band. They have no idea how to even grab it.
Right.
It's just a big old rubber band. Well, hey, this is a stretching tool as well.
Right.
We have a lot of other specific stretching tools in our gym, like lacrosse balls that help roll out their pecs or their hips or whatever it may be. And, you know, I feel like the more that we can implement that with the athlete, the better, because they can take all those small little tools outside with them.
Right.
They can do it at home, before and after practice or whatever it may be.
Sure. And for the people out there that don't know, and I don't really know the true answer, because we stretch before and after practice. When is the optimal time? Because, you know, there's things like, oh, you want to do an active warm-up and then generally stretch at the end, or people say you want to stretch at the beginning and then so forth. So when is the optimal time to stretch that's the most beneficial for athletes?
I think it just depends on the type of stretching you're doing.
Right.
You know, like before a game, before practice, it needs to be kind of dynamic.
Right.
You know, I always think slow to fast.
Right.
You know, we start off kind of slow, and then we work up to the level or the intensity of the activity,
right?
Whether it's a practice or a game or just a shooting session or whatever it may be. And then after that, after the activity, okay, then we go from fast to slow. And so I think of it like kind of like a big old scale.
Sure.
But at the end, you know, that's when they go home, I want them to be able to kind of cool down, bring the heart rate down, and kind of focus on, you know, starting the recovery.
Right.
And that's what I tell them, you know, I was like, hey, you know, when our athletes leave us, you know, we want them to do the band stretches and the foam rolling because we tell them your recovery starts even before you leave us.
Right. And one thing, I mean, before we go to break, then we'll have you back for one more segment. Talk about the recovery. Mm-hmm. You know, because I try to talk to my kids. They don't mm-hmm. like, they just like, yeah, whatever. I tried to go do it. Talk about how important that is. Talk about the difference between an athlete that works at recovery versus an athlete that doesn't.
You know, one thing I think athletes need to work on with recovery is their nutrition.
Right.
Nutrition's got to be one of the biggest things besides sleep. You know, we feel like nutrition is so big that we added a licensed registered dietitian on our staff.
Okay.
It's my wife, Anne-Marie. Yeah, shout out to Anne-Marie. You know, but she's, you know, we'll bring her in to give little talks to the athletes, or we have her do nutritional consultations with our athletes because we feel like it's one of the most important pieces that they need for their recovery.
Right.
And again, it's help with longevity.
Sure.
I'm sure you know as a college and professional athlete, if your recovery is not on point the next day, whether it's a workout or game, you ain't going to be on point.
Right.
And so, again, it's another important detail that we add to the X factor at Coach Grayson.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's great stuff, man. A lot of questions, a lot of answers, a lot of information. We'll review all of it. And I'm going to keep asking questions because hopefully my athletes are listening. Because I know they don't listen to me. You better listen to Coach Grayson because if you get Coach Grayson, I can get him to work you a little harder. We're going to take a quick break. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. We got Coach Grayson sitting in with us. Old School. We'll be right back.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and Jay on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.